to episode 84 of Frank Reactions, the show where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Tema Frank. Before I start telling you about today's episode, I did want to let you know that if you're still on the fence about attending the Digital Customer Experience Strategies Summit in Chicago next week, September 13th and 14th, where I will be speaking, I've negotiated a discount offer for you. So you will get a 20% discount if you just use the offer code TFRANK20, the number 20, and TFRANK I think all have to be capitalized. So it would be awesome to be able to see you there. But in the meantime, let me tell you about a big event that's happening here in my hometown of Edmonton this week. You're probably sick of hearing me talk about my book People Shock by now, but it is finally getting its official release. Obviously, it has been available for a couple of months now for sale on Amazon and elsewhere, but I figured there was no point doing a launch party during the summer, so I held off. And this week, Wednesday, September 7th, will be the official launch party. So if you think you're going to be in Edmonton that day, you would be most welcome to attend. It will be taking place at Latitude 53 from 5:30 to 7:30. So what I thought I would do for today's podcast is actually give you a sneak preview of the sections of the book that I'm going to be reading at the launch event. So if you're planning for sure to go to the launch event, you can actually skip this episode. Or you can compare my delivery now to what my delivery is like on Wednesday. Anyway, here goes. This is basically what I'm going to be reading at the launch party. It's a little bit from the introduction and then a little bit further into the book where I talk about boom and bust economic cycles and how those affect customer experience and how the three P's of profit can help you sort of ride those out well. Here goes. My first job when I was 15 was helping out at a clothing store during a deep discount sale. I loved the idea of earning some money, but was less keen on having to stand in high heels for 8 hours a day guarding the change rooms. Frankly, I still don't understand why they make the attendants stand instead of sit. And stiletto heels? Really? So when things slowed down, I wandered towards the nearby racks of clothes and started organizing them. One rack per color, and within each color, by size. Made sense to me. If you're buying a pair of pants, you probably know what color you need, right? My mother, however, was appalled. To her, the logical arrangement was to have the racks by size and then within each size by color or style. I'm not sure if it was my decision to rearrange things without permission or just that the sale wasn't as busy as predicted, but I was let go after 3 days. To this day, I don't know if there's any definitive research showing which arrangement leads to more sales. I suspect it has a lot to do with your target customer. Are they likely to be coming just to browse and see what's new, or are they on a mission, get that pair of navy pants and get out? Well, thanks to digitization, the answer to that question is becoming irrelevant. Soon your phone will know exactly what's in your wardrobe, what types of events you have coming up, and what clothing items you might need and not yet have. It will direct you to a relevant website or websites and automatically show you the most relevant clothes, taking into account style, color, size, even your budget. Even if you want to go to a retail store to try a few outfits on, your phone will have signaled the store exactly when you're most likely to be coming and what you'd probably be interested in, and those clothes will be set out and waiting for you when you walk in. So, what's the role of humans in all this? Do we even need them anymore? As we enter the era of the Internet of Things, with wristbands or watches telling us when to sleep, what to eat, and how many more steps to take today, and with fridges sending orders to the grocery store to deliver milk when we're almost out, it seems that less and less depends on humans. And yet, that is precisely what makes humans so critically important now. As more becomes automated, more becomes standardized. People are the only way you can really differentiate your offerings, the only way you can stand out in a sea of sameness. This book is about how you can leverage the people factor to survive and thrive in our increasingly automated era. People are complex. So far, computers haven't been able to fully replicate the subtleties of human learning, communications, and behavior, although they are getting closer very quickly. In his book, Rise of the Robots, Martin Ford gives many examples of jobs we once thought of as skilled, knowledge-based work that could never be replaced by computers, now becoming fully automated. In many cases, the machines do better than humans. No doctor can be as thorough a diagnostician as a computer that quickly reviews all the medical studies ever published, the symptoms of thousands of diseases, and the likelihood that a collection of symptoms in a person of a specific age, weight, gender, family history, and personal medical history would be one specific disease. Physically, computers are also becoming much more capable. They now perform surgeries guided remotely by experts. Robots are set to replace most workers in fast food restaurants. The technology exists. So far, its advance has mainly been slowed by political backlash. But it won't be long before most McJobs are no longer done by humans. Part of the temptation to switch to robots is that they're more predictable than humans. Ask any entrepreneur, and odds are they'll tell you that the part of the business they like least is dealing with people issues. Despite the best efforts of people like Frederick Winslow Taylor, father of time and motion studies aimed at getting the maximum production levels out of factory workers, humans do not perform the same way that machines do. Simple, repetitive tasks are almost always better handled by machines. Humans get bored, lose focus, get tired, and suffer repetitive strain injuries that take longer to heal than it takes to fix a worn-out machine part. Of course, staff are not the only people businesses need to worry about, far from it. They have to be equally concerned about the people who work for their suppliers, their prospects and customers, investors, and the public at large. Thanks to social media, the number of people whose views and comments can be relevant has expanded exponentially. All of those people can be irrational, emotional, and impulsive. Think about all the possible permutations and combinations of those human elements that can affect your business results. It quickly becomes obvious that it's impossible to control. It's also impossible to completely predict and program. As a leader, you need to be thinking now about how you can best leverage the robots to do what they do best, and the humans to use their strengths. When we get to the point where we no longer need the teenager in the stiletto heels guarding the change room, we will still need humans. They will be the ones who understand the subtleties of what your customers are likely to want. They will be the customers themselves. And they will be needed to provide the experiences and human connections that we so crave. I call this increasingly important role of the human element, people shock. This book is about people shock, why getting the human side right is crucial, and how to use it to your advantage so you can compete successfully in the digital era. To do that, you need to understand the new 3 P's of profit: promise, people, and process. The promise is your brand and what it represents in the eyes of the public. It's also what inspires and focuses your staff, what keeps the ship moving in a successful direction. The people I divide into 2 categories. There are the internal people, or your staff, and of course they are essential to your success. No matter what sort of business you run, your workers are the ones running it. If they're happy, they'll do their best to help you make it succeed. If they're unhappy, they'll undermine it, either intentionally or unintentionally. The external people include groups like your prospects, your customers, but also distributors and resellers, suppliers, investors and lenders, influencers, including mass media and social media, and even competitors. Processes are the 3rd P in the 3P profit formula. This is an area where many companies fall down. But the great news is it's the one where you can probably show the fastest return on investment. Process improvements will save you time and money and will save your staff and customers a heck of a lot of frustration. You may have a strong motivational promise, great staff, super supplier and distributor relationships, and even great public relations. But if you haven't come to grips with the process aspects of your organization, you will ultimately falter. There's only so often your fabulous frontline staff can say, "I'm sorry," before your customers will give up and go elsewhere. The 3 P's of promise, people, and process all interact with one another. And sometimes you really feel that at times of boom or bust. I live in a part of the world where, until the recent tumbling of oil prices, things had been booming for years. The biggest problem many companies faced was simply getting and keeping enough staff to keep up with demand. My 15-year-old kid could walk into any store or restaurant and get a job easily with no experience. When business is booming like that, it's easy to miss customer experience problems, but it's also one of the times when you're most likely to have them. Things seem to be going well, so leadership's attitude is often, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But like a home that needs re-roofing, cracks may be creeping in that won't be noticed until there's a downpour. While everybody's scrambling to keep up, the systems, processes, hiring, and training needed to deliver on the company's promises have likely fallen behind. It's painful to take the time and spend the money to get the roof redone when there's no obvious hole, but if you wait until the downpour, the cost and hassles will be far worse. This is the trap that prevents many mid-sized businesses from growing into big businesses, and instead sees many of them fall back to small ones or die altogether. At the other extreme, a natural reaction to periods of stagnation or shrinking sales is to retrench. Whether it's the economy overall that's slowed down or just your company's sales, it's common to invest less and lay off staff. When you do that, though, customer service is almost certain to suffer. The staff remaining are demoralized, their aging equipment is not working well, and sales reps are getting desperate and are more tempted to promise things you can't deliver. If it's an economy-wide slowdown, your suppliers are probably also having problems, so their service and product quality may have slipped too. If that's the case, it will hurt your ability to deliver the quality your customers expect. In a study of how companies dealt with recessions, researchers found that only 9% of companies came out of a recession more strongly than they had gone into it. Those that did outperformed competitors post-recession by 10% or more in growth of sales and profits. The companies that took a slash-and-burn approach with big cost cuts were the least likely to succeed after a recession. But the answer isn't just to invest more during the recession either. Big spenders did only slightly better. The key is to get more strategic with both spending and cuts during the recession. The companies most likely to thrive after a recession, according to the authors, were those that cut costs carefully by focusing on operational efficiency rather than on big staff cuts. At the same time, they invested more in marketing, research and development, and new assets, which were, of course, available more cheaply during the recession and would spur future growth. In other words, they did the type of thorough process review advocated in this book. They looked at how they did everything from getting supplies right through to serving their customers. They figured out how to make the whole process more effective and efficient. Companies that slash costs without concentrating on people and processes struggle when a recession ends because they have to ramp up. Those that focus instead on doing things better benefit from those efficiencies both during and after the recession. The authors of that study contrasted how Office Depot and Staples handled the recession of the year 2000. Office Depot laid off 6% of its workers, but operating costs didn't change much. It was just fewer people struggling to do more of the same. Staples actually increased its workforce by 10%. It closed down stores that weren't doing well, but staff were redeployed so the company could offer new services and better support for the high-end, high-profit products. Staples also took a close look at how it could streamline to cut its operating costs without hurting customer experience. As a result, it, quote, came out of the recession stronger, bigger, and more profitable than it had been in 1999. On average, Staples was about 30% more profitable than its arch rival in the 3 years after that recession, end quote. Whether times are tough or booming, the 3P profit formula of promise, people, and process is the key to success in our hyper-competitive era. Implementing it thoroughly takes courage, determination, and persistence, especially in tough economic times. So fundamentally, this book is about three things. One, survival. Without understanding customer experience and the people and processes behind creating consistently great ones, you're doomed. Sorry to bring you the bad news. 2. Profits. This is a moment of incredible opportunity for companies that really come to grips with people shock. The people factor is hard. As my trainer says, if it were easy, everybody'd be doing it. But that very difficulty is why, if you can get it right, you'll come out on top. And 3, satisfaction. I'm not just talking about your customers and your staff here, although those are what this book focuses on. I'm talking about you. If you have happy staff, customers, suppliers, and investors, you will be a happier person too. So what do you think? That's what I am planning to read to the people who are coming to the PeopleShock launch party on Wednesday, September 7th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Latitude 53 in Edmonton. And if you can make it, I'd love to see you there. If you can't make it, I'd still love to hear your comments on what I read. And in fact, your comments on the whole book, if you've had a chance to pop over to Amazon or elsewhere and buy yourself a copy. So that's all for this week. Just a quick reminder that next week I will be speaking at the Digital Customer Experience Strategies Summit, taking place in Chicago on September 13th and 14th, 2016. And you can actually get a 20% discount if you're still contemplating going to that and haven't registered, just by using the offer code TFRANK20, the number 20. I'm not sure, it may have to be that the TFRANK part is all in capital letters. So TFRANK20. I would love to see you there. If you're going to be there, please just shoot me a line and let's get together. Have a wonderful week. Bye.